The NBA Finals are set. Denver kind of lying in wait. The Heat, of course, exploded in the East before Boston fought back. Our guest is a host on the Believe Network. The podcast is Believe in the Miami Heat. He's based in Magic City. You can follow on Twitter. Use the handle at @AnthonyD_Heat. Anthony DiNardo joins us. Great having you. How's life in South Beach?
I'll tell you what, it's a lot better right now than it was after Game 6. I will tell you that.
Yeah, I could imagine. The infamous no box out, perfect bounce, you got to be kidding me. But the thing is, every once in a while, it seems like it all comes together in a sports city. You know, the Heat are in the finals, the Panther are in the finals. I know hopes are high for the Dolphins with a healthy Tua. They traded for Jalen Ramsey. Heck, the Marlins are even above 500. So kind of how big is the buzz among fans and everybody wired into the Miami sports scene right now?
Yeah, I was just talking about that earlier, all this craziness and winning going on. And the most unpredictable thing is the Marlins being over 500, which is pretty exciting too. But yeah, man, it's really unreal. You know, in my lifetime, it's certainly the craziest that the sports atmosphere has been down here. I'm 25 years old. I've seen the Dolphins in the playoffs twice. Once of them was last year. And obviously, they don't look like they're slowing down anytime soon. The Florida Panthers were in the Stanley Cup 27 years ago, and they've had some good teams of late, but obviously they struggle when it comes in the postseason. And then this entire regular season for the Miami Heat is one of the most boring and mediocre seasons that I've ever seen. So the fact that they're having this kind of turnaround with everything else going on in the city, it has been a beautiful last couple months here in South Florida.
Well, to confess and to age myself, I was in fifth grade when the Dolphins were perfect in 1972. So just... Like I said, you talk about 27 years ago for the Panthers. I feel like that was yesterday. But anyway, as a first-time guest, I want to get a little background because you said how old you were, and I mentioned in our communication I spent time in South Florida, maybe too much time at places like Hialeah or Gulfstream. So where exactly in Broward County do you hail from? And like you talked about, Who were your teams? Who were like your guys growing up that you followed on the Miami sports scene?
Are you familiar with Davey by any chance, since you spent some time in the area?
Not really. I mostly did Hollywood, Fort Lauderdale. We'd jump into Miami for dinner and Hialeah and the track and stuff like that. But vaguely.
Yeah, it's Fort Lauderdale primarily. That's what I usually tell people. So I'm about 30 minutes north of Miami, which is nice because I was able to go to a lot of games growing up. Crazy part is I actually used to not like sports growing up. I wasn't a fan at all because growing up, obviously, the Dolphins sucked. This is post-Shaq and Wade, so the Heat teams were kind of mediocre at that time. They had nothing else going on. Now, my dad was a huge fan. He grew up in 1972, and he was also a kid when that Dolphins team was, you know, going undefeated. So he used to watch all the games. And then one day, you know, I hear about this guy called LeBron James coming down to South Beach. Hear everyone talking about it. Of course, my dad's watching games, and I guess in 2010 I would have been 12 years old. So at the time, I said, you know what? Let me sit down. Let me see what the hype's all about here. Maybe this is actually something worth watching. And I fell in love instantly. So I grew up on those big three teams, man. You got Bosh and Wade with Bron, and then all the other role players like Battier, Mike Miller, James Jones, Norris Cole, Mario Chalmers. Those are my guys growing up. And the awesome part about right now is Jimmy Butler is making me feel like a little kid again in terms of having somebody to root for as a fan, because you love him as a person, you love him as a player, you love him on and off the court. It's impossible to not just be a giant fan of this guy and want the utmost success for him.
Talking Heat, Anthony DiNardo, Believe in the Miami Heat, as part of the Outstanding Believe Network. So you posted something that I loved on Twitter. When the regular season started, you and a dozen other hosts made your finals prediction. So I gotta give you a chance to brag away. You nailed it. You're the only person I think on the planet who you went with your heart for the Heat and one of only two of those 13 who picked the Nuggets. What made you go in those directions? And well done.
See, everybody's thinking that I got lucky because I went with the biased team pick. The way I looked at it, this team was one shot away from the finals last year. You're bringing back pretty much the same roster, and two of your three best players in Bam and Tyler are very young, so I expected them to get better. Now, as much as I have been bragging, yes, because I called Heat Nuggets, I'm sure somebody could embarrass me and find a million receipts because about a week into the regular season, all my optimism was gone. This team looked like they were going to miss the playoffs. Duncan Robinson could have hit a shot no more. Bam Adebayo was scared to shoot. And certainly after that play-in loss to the Atlanta Hawks, I wouldn't have been mad if they lost the next play-in game to the Bulls because they would have got a higher draft pick. And at the time, I said, what's the point of getting swept by the Bucks? You know, and obviously from the Denver Nuggets side, I felt like it was their time to finally break through. They've been knocking at the door for a few years. I think some of the other teams might have ran their course, like the Warriors and the Lakers, and I thought it was Denver's time. And here we are, two very, very evenly matched teams in the finals, and I think we're in for just an incredibly close series.
You know, I'm happy you brought up that Bulls game because that was back on April 14th. They lost to the Hawks, and I went back. I remember it was 3 minutes to go. They were still losing. So if at that moment when it was a one-point game with 3 minutes to go, somebody you were watching the game with hit pause, went, sat next to you and said, Anthony, I don't know what you're worried about. They're going to the finals. Would you have thought that they were drunk on drugs or just plain nuts?
See, I really don't want to take this run for granted. And truthfully, I don't think it'll be able to hit me what they've actually accomplished, you know, until many years from now. I even remember, during the playing game there. But even as far as when they made the playoffs and Giannis got hurt in the first game and Tyler Hero went down. And they said he'll miss 6 to 8 weeks so he can come back for the finals, right? And we all laughed, you know, made a little joke about that. And here we are talking about if Tyler Hero is going to come back for the finals. I mean, never in a million years could I believe that we would actually be in this spot. What a surreal time it's been, truthfully.
No, I remember after Hero got hurt, whoever wrote the article, and I do news updates, they said, well, he might be back for the finals. And I was like, they're going to make the finals? What are you out of your mind? But anyway, you know, one factor that's kind of hard to determine is the layoff. Seems like the last time Denver played, they were like in the old ABA. But, you know, they swept the Lakers. That was 10 days ago. Anthony, from what you're seeing, any sense that the Heat really need to pounce in game one? Because the Nuggets have to have some kind of effect, some kind of rust.
I love the ABA reference there. That's a great joke, and I will be stealing that going forward with your permission. When the Heat lost game four, obviously it was a little sad, but I try to talk myself out the sadness by saying, hey, this is not a bad thing. Denver's going to get like a week and a half off. I don't want that from Miami. I'll take, you know, a little bit shorter rest. Now, unfortunately, they got a lot shorter rest than I hoped for. But I still think that the as much as the fatigue, you could say, is a disadvantage for Miami, the rest and rust for Denver is just as much as a disadvantage because we see that all the time when a team has sat that long and they get out of rhythm. And I look for Miami to start the game, at least the first quarter, first half, very, very strong. And then if things get close in the second half, I'm kind of hoping that Jimmy will be enough to kind of carry us to a win. So I'm definitely looking for them to attack strong coming out of game one because if they're going to get one in Denver, I think this is the one.
You know, obviously a big storyline is what to do to limit Nikola Jokic. I mean, to stop him doesn't seem possible, but avoiding him having one of those 30, 10, and 10 games. Position to position, obviously, some is going to fall on Bam Adebayo, but he gives away some height, some strength. So are we going to see more Cody Zeller? What are you hearing? What's logical to at least make Jokic work his butt off for his production?
Yeah, the typical ideology that Spoelstra has on the defensive end is to, you know, limit the star players, let the other guys beat you. And he does that by sending very strong double teams at the other team's stars. The problem is that's exactly what Nikola Jokic wants. Obviously, he has some of the greatest vision of all time. So I think Spo will kind of lay back into that more of a isolation defense there. You'll see Bam match Jokic's minutes. I think that's the most obvious thing there. And Cody Zeller and Kevin Love barely got any, or they actually didn't get any run for the last few games of last series. I think a lot of that has to do with how athletic Rob Williams is and how Al Horford is a perimeter player. Now, obviously, Jokic is a perimeter player, but he's not as athletic. So I do think you will see Kevin Love and Cody Zeller just because they're big, for the sake of being big. But for the most part, you're going to see Bam Adebayo match his minutes. And unfortunately, in their recent matchups, Jokic has dominated Bam to the highest degree. I'm not mad at it because he's the two-time MVP for a reason. He does that to literally anybody. But Bam has done a phenomenal job in the past of guarding Giannis. We saw that this year. We saw that in 2020. And he's also done very, very well historically against Embiid. So if Bam can hold his own in the playoffs against those guys, I'm hoping he can find something to limit Jokic. But even if Jokic is out there scoring 50 a night, if they can stop the other guys, I'm not sure that'll be enough.
Couple final thoughts, Anthony DiNardo, Believe Network, Believe in the Miami Heat podcast. I got to talk about Caleb Martin. I mean, the way he's been playing is kind of a revelation. I mean, it's not just the upgraded scoring. He had 15 rebounds game six, 10 in the clincher. You get to see him game in, game out. Just how to best describe how this guy has absolutely answered the call in the biggest moment of his career.
Yeah, his story is insane. You know, they mentioned this a lot on the broadcast, but if you didn't hear, it was J. Cole, the rapper who discovered him at one of his private runs in North Carolina. J. Cole hit up his buddy Caron Butler, who's on the assistant coaching staff at the Heat, said, "You got to work out this Caleb Martin. He's awesome." So they worked him out. He got a two-way deal, played well enough 2 years ago to get that converted to a standard contract. And then this past offseason, they signed him to a three-year, $20 million deal. He's going to be getting paid only $7 million next year, which is insane for the type of value that he's providing. Now, in the offseason, we also lost P.J. Tucker. They didn't sign anyone else. So our biggest concern as Heat fans going into this offseason is how well Caleb Martin would do at the starting four, because we knew that was going to be his position. Of course, we all thought it would be a miserable failure because he's 6'4", but truthfully, he turned out to be as good as anybody could have possibly imagined. I mean, as bad as a regular season Heat team this was, really, Caleb Martin and Jimmy Butler are the only guys that Heat fans weren't mad at. But that being said, nobody saw him scoring 25 points a night on 60% from the field and 50% from three. Where that came from, I think, is just a credit to his mental makeup, his mental fortitude, and that's what this Heat front office looks for when they're looking for these undrafted guys, right? They're not looking for who could jump the highest or who could shoot the best. They're looking for who has the biggest heart. Because they know you can teach all the other stuff, and that when it comes to playoff time, those are the guys that aren't going to back down, and they're primed for big performances. We're seeing that with Caleb. We're seeing that with Strus, Gabe, and the rest of the roster, too.
Yeah, kind of when you compare that, he's got 3 years, $20 million, and Golden State gave Jordan Poole 4 years for $128 million. I think I like the Miami deal a little bit better right now. last thing is, you know, if you've been following, which I know you have, we've heard all about the numbers. Denver is a 3-1 favorite over the past 40 years. Only the Pistons have overcome those odds. So kind of make your case. What's got to happen for Miami to pull an upset? You know, get Butler his ring and just add to that Riley Spoelstra legacy.
Yeah, I got Heat in six. I'm going to put that out there right now. I could use logic to tell you about the advanced analytics and how Jokic dominates all that. But what I like to do is I like to sit here and talk about guts and talk about Heat culture, because people can laugh and say it's just a bunch of nonsense, right? But if you think about it, that's what got us this far. In every series, they talk about how this Heat roster is severely outmatched against all the other teams, but somehow they're here. They play harder than everyone else, they play stronger than everyone else, and they're tougher than everyone else too. I think that's going to go a long way. And we see every time they have their back pushed as far against the wall as possible and everybody in the national media is doubting them, that's when they play their best. They get up 3-0, everybody thinks the series over, the Heat are feeling good, they lay back a little bit, they lose three in a row. And then you go into Boston, game seven, and you dominate. That's what this team constantly does. We all know that ESPN gave them a 3% chance to win last series. Now they gave them an 11% chance. I guess ESPN's giving us some more respect there. I don't know. But still, everybody's doubting them. That's a big reason why I believe they're going to come through. Not to mention that this roster is just loaded with experience. You got a bunch of champions between Kyle Lowry, Kevin Love, Udonis Haslem, who I don't want to understate his importance, and, of course, Eric Spoelstra, two-time champion already. Not to mention the rest of the roster has pretty much been to the NBA Finals. Even Gabe Vincent was on that bubble team, which people seem to forget. When you look at the Denver side, it's just Contavious Caldwell-Pope, who did kill Miami in 2020. I'm not going to lie, he did. But the rest of the roster, it's the Nuggets' first time in the Finals in franchise history. I'm wondering what kind of pressure that puts on those players. So I do think that's a bit of a disadvantage for them, too.
When I think that Udonis Haslem was on the Florida team that went to the Finals in 2000 and he's still in the NBA, that's remarkable. And for the record, I bet the Heat just because I like the odds. So we'll see how that all works out. Folks, he's Anthony DiNardo, generous enough with his time on this large and busy day to share his insights from the scene in Miami. Follow along, check out the podcast, Believe in the Miami Heat, part of the Believe Network. His Twitter handle is at AnthonyD_Heat. Anthony, great Avignon. Enjoy the Finals. Appreciate you joining the show, and I hope to talk again down the road.
Yeah, when you guys trade Dame over to Miami, we'll be sure to discuss again then.
Well, first I'm going to have to deal with the suicide watch around here, but one thing at a time. But seriously, Anthony, thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. This is a good time. Thank you.
All right, take it.